are a proud member of the 143 Podcast Network.
How's it going, everybody? This is Joey Galvez, and you are listening to the House of Indie podcast. And this week, I have a special guest, a very special guest, a jack of all trades in music and comic books, Dave Chisholm. How's it going?
Hey, what's up, man? I'm happy to be here.
So, man, you, and like I said at the top of the show, you are a man of all trades. We're going to talk a little bit about everything in this episode, but I want to talk to you a little bit about your work in comics first. So, yeah, you just recently dropped a book out of Scout Comics called, and this is one of those things we talked about off air a little bit. We were like, hey, how do you pronounce this name? I said Canopus. You said, nah, that's all good. But how do you pronounce the name?
I say it Canopus.
Okay.
But you know what? When I started putting the book together, I like actually looked up how to pronounce it. And uh-huh. there's like different opinions on how to pronounce it. So I kind of just let people say it the way they want to. And, you know, adapt to them and stuff like that. So.
It's a lot like how people pronounce Cthulhu, right?
Yeah, right, right.
So, give me a little bit of a log line for Canopus.
Yeah, so basically the story of that is this woman named Helen wakes up on an alien planet and she has no memory of how she got there. And she, all she has is this urgent sense that she needs to get home. So she explores the planet with her like little robot companion named Arthur, and, her memories do start to come back gradually, but they start to return as monsters on the surface of the planet.
This first issue was so strong. And when I read it, It's definitely, because I was looking stuff on it, it says psychological thriller type stuff, and that's almost exactly what it is. When I read it, I was like, what the heck is going on? I need to know. Yeah. It was a really great first issue.
Thanks, man.
And it's not really, and I'm glad you kind of told me, because it's not really, apparent that her little companion there is a robot or is he an alien. You don't really know, so
yeah, well, you know, the nature of Arthur's kind of story gets is definitely folded into the bigger picture in the story. So yeah, so like that's definitely a question. And I usually just log line I usually just say her like robot companion for ease, you know what I mean?
To give you an idea and not to give it away. Super cool. Yeah, man. So, and then you've got another book coming out that is near and dear to your heart, cause it kind of mixes both worlds that you're a part of, right? Called Chasing the Bird.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that one.
Okay. Chasing the Bird. Well, Chasing the Bird is a story about this infamous real life jazz saxophonist named Charlie Parker, who, died in 1954 or 1955. Oh no, I can't remember he was 34 when he died, and it was 1955, I think, when he died. Okay. Maybe that's wrong. One of those in there. And he died quite young. He had a very tumultuous life, and had like, you know, big appetites and kind of substance abuse problems and stuff like that. And this year is actually, he was born in 1920. What am I saying? Oh my gosh. It's too early here, man.
It's all good. We won't hold it against you, man.
This year is Charlie Parker's centennial. It would have been his 100th birthday if he was alive. Okay. And so, his estate is doing all these like celebrations. And one of the things they had an idea to do was a graphic novel about his time in California. And so they approached the publisher Z2 Comics, who published in 2017 my book Instrumental that I wrote and drew. It's also about music.
Yeah.
And so Z2 approached me and asked me to put together a pitch for it. And I put together a pitch, and the estate was really thrilled about it. And that was like last October. And now it's set to be released in September, and I can't wait, man. It's the book is so good. I'm so happy with how it turned out.
Yeah, it sounds like it's a really good one. And like I said, we've been talking about how you are a musician as well. You are actually a trumpet player, right? And I read a little bit up on you. You got your doctorate in doing that, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So I'm technically Dr. Dave.
Dr. Dave.
And so, yeah, I have my doctorate in jazz trumpet.
Oh, that's awesome.
From the Eastman School of Music here where I live now in Rochester. And I got my doctorate in 2013. And I teach a lot of music. That's basically one of my, like, you know, I'm like one of those kind of like freelancers. So, yeah. Like, I teach some music. I play some music, although not with pandemic happening. I haven't really been gigging at all.
Yeah.
And then I also do comics. So, and I teach a little bit of comic stuff now too, as well. So even though I don't have any formal training in that field, I still get some teaching work that way.
So what came first? Was it music and then comics, or were they kind of both there in your life always?
Well, I think that, like, I was always surrounded by music when I was a little kid. The earliest music I remember hearing is my dad spinning, like, Miles Davis, Sketches of Spain.
Oh, man, yeah.
And, like, Charles Mingus, Let My Children Hear Music. Mm. And then, like, Abbey Road by the Beatles and maybe some Pink Floyd, like Dark Side of the Moon, you know. And so I was always surrounded by music, and we always had MTV on at home, like, in the 80s, you know, always. And so it's just music all the time. And then also, but at the same time, to this day, my mom claims my first word was Spider-Man. So comics have always been like really close to my heart. And so my whole life in a way is like ping-ponging back and forth between these two things. And, you know, like when I finished high school, I applied for scholarships at the University of Utah, where my parents live in Utah, like in Salt Lake. I applied for scholarships from the music department and for the art department.
Yeah.
And I got a bigger scholarship for the music department. And so I decided to do music. And that was basically what kind of set the path for my education. And then, but really, like, the whole time I've always drawn and always been making comics, and I'm a real kind of like autodidact.
Yeah.
Where, like, I'm someone who, like, I teach myself stuff a lot, and I guess I have that kind of brain that, like, that, like, organizes processes really well in a way, like, that makes any sense. So
definitely,
like, I can listen, or I can look at a piece of art and kind of, like, piece together a process in my head really quickly, and I don't know. So anyway, the idea is that. So it's just always back and forth between those two. Like, as soon as I finished my doctorate, I started working on instrumental, and then that has led to, like, all this other work. Yeah. And it's been really rewarding. The comics world has been really, really rewarding for me. So I feel very lucky.
Yeah, that's awesome. And yeah, man, I love that word. I know exactly what an autodidact is. I grew up, like, loving music, and music was in my world when I was a kid. I was into punk rock music. I'm into indie rock. I'm into indie everything. Any kind of indie anything, I listen to it. And for a while, you know, in high school, I had one of those crappy high school bands. You know what I mean? It's like just horrible. You guys get a bunch of your friends together and you just play and you just love it. But nobody ever should hear it, but so I've loved it, and I'm the same way. I teach myself, and I just have this, like, mind is like, when I've tried to read music, and I just can't wrap my head around it. But when you show me a note or something like that, I can almost find the note. And so it's the way I work. It's just super weird, but
and I think it's I think that, like, it's just for me, it's just been like just always having an open mind and trying to always grow and stuff like that. And also, like, like having the real like luxury or privilege to be have the time to be able to dedicate a lot to my like obsessions, basically.
Yeah, yeah, same here, man. That's how, that's why I do this, because I used to dabble in like so I did a little bit of everything. I dabbled in making beats and stuff like that with some DAW programs and things like that, because I saw my cousin do it, and I just would just watch him. And I says, okay, that's how you make drums. And I figured out how to make drums on the computer, and I did that and all that kind of stuff. And then I was like, well, I'm probably not that good at this. So I went and I was like, well, you know what's easier for me? Recording audio. So now I record audio podcasts, and so I wrap my whole mind around doing that. And I'm the same way. I teach myself, and I figure like, if I go to school, it's just for the paper, because all the stuff that I know now, I'm very sure that they're going to teach me, but I already kind of know it. So I'm just like, all right, what am I going to do here? I do need to go and know all the basics and know all the stuff, the sure. actual technical stuff, because that's great. But yeah. It's going to be like I already know this stuff, so I'll ace it.
Yeah, man.
Super cool. So, you know, I know you've done a whole lot of other stuff in comic books, and you've done music. And you know, it's funny. I was looking you up, and I came across your indie band.
Oh, so, right on, man.
So I was listening to that for a little while, because, dude, I'm like a huge indie guy, like a huge part of my lifestyle. So I was listening to punk rock, and then I started to get into indie bands. And from there, it just kind of went off to indie bands, to folk bands, and all kinds of just crazy stuff. Tell us a little bit about that, man, because I know, yeah, this is about, my show is normally a lot about indie, comics. Yeah. But I mean, indie bands is indie, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, man, it's cool, man. I guess like, it's kind of a funny story, I guess. Cause I've always really loved, pop music and music with lyrics and writing lyrics and singing songs as well. So like, and you can, and when I started college, there weren't really any degrees in that were available. So like, and I also obviously still like deeply love jazz music and all that. It's just a different kind of mindset to make jazz music versus writing a song.
Yeah.
And so like, this is really funny. So like, you know, it's kind of another life story answer. So when I finished my bachelor's degree, mm-hmm. I was pretty burned out on playing jazz music and studying jazz music. So mm-hmm. I really got heavily into like songwriting, and I joined up with a band, and we toured for a couple years and had some like pretty good success in that time. Nice. You know, and then when that thing ended, it was like not a good breakup.
Yeah.
And so then I kind of was like, man, screw everybody. I just want to make comics. And so then I did a comic called Let's Go to Utah.
Uh-huh.
And that comic was just for me, but it actually, people found it online, and it became like a kind of a weird micro like cult hit, you know, in some circles, like, I decided to go back to school to get my master's degree and get my doctorate. I went back to school and did that. And then mm-hmm. I was like, I want to make comics again. So I did instrumental.
Yeah.
And then when I finished instrumental, it was like 2014, and you know, that book didn't come out until 2017. And my mm-hmm. instrumental is this like really big, ambitious project with like an album of music that goes with it.
Yeah.
So it's like a full record that goes with it of like this pretty intense, like, jazz music, I guess you call it, like cinematic jazz music.
Yeah.
And when that, and that took a little while to come out, like took several years actually. And it was really, and that was really hard. I got really frustrated with it. And I was like, man, maybe comics aren't for me. Maybe I should, and jazz music, maybe that's not for me. And I kind of like had this little crisis. And so I started writing songs with words again, songs with lyrics again.
Yeah.
And that became this project called Talking Underwater, mm-hmm. which is like this indie band. And we're, I guess we're technically still around, but we haven't played any gigs in quite some time. I still write those songs every now and then.
Nice.
And record some songs. Like when the kind of quarantine started, I recorded like three new tunes.
Oh, nice.
To put up on our band camp, which is talkingunderwater.bandcamp.com. Super a song cool. called Rubber Band. That's kind of about being a person. I like to make it like a little joke that like being someone with like undiagnosed adult onset ADHD. and then a song called Business, which is sort of like my political barn burner song. That's like a condemnation of the current right wing in America and kind of like hyper-capitalism and late capitalism and stuff like that. And then a song, and then a cover of a song called Smile. That's a song by Charlie Chaplin.
Oh, so cool.
It's like a really beautiful, song with kind of a messed up message. That's like, no matter how bad it is, you should smile, which like, I don't necessarily agree with. and so hopefully if you listen to it, you can hear the kind of sarcasm in it maybe, but either way, it's still a really cool song. Like, so anyway, and in that band actually is also built around the sound of the cello, which is like one of my favorite instruments. And the cello is actually played by Elise, my wife.
Oh, so cool.
And so that's also like makes the project really close to my heart as well. But you know, to be honest with you, that the music scene, this is like really dark sounding, right? Like, but like that the indie music scene, like to me, I can only be like, I can't go all in on that as a performer. I'm like too old to tour, you know?
Yeah.
And if you can't tour, there's no way to grow it.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, it becomes a numbers game. Like it's really expensive to put a record out, and then the odds of a really expensive record, like reaching a lot of people and making its money back. And I hate to make it about money, you know, because I think the Talking Underwater stuff is so much more about so much more than money. But like at a certain point I have to step back and say like, is the return on investment on this art like worth it? And then I look at like the return on investment for like the comics work that I've been doing, and it's been like more rewarding lately. And so with music, I can teach it. I still gig quite a bit. Well, obviously again, not it like until the pandemic hit.
Right.
And I really enjoy all that stuff. And so but for like my personal expression lately, the preferred thing has been comics. That's for damn sure.
Yeah. And I completely understand, about the whole touring aspect and growing your music and all that stuff. It's rough, man. The music industry, it's definitely rough. Let's hold right here. Let's hold that thought. Let's take a small break and we'll be back and we'll talk a little bit more about that in just a second. All right. And we're back. So, we were talking a little bit about how rough the music industry is. And, it really is, man, because I completely understand. Like, that's why when I started doing stuff and trying to get into the music and stuff, I kind of got a little discouraged myself because of that exact same reason.
Yeah.
It's really rough, man. It's rough to get yourself out there and to grow yourself. It's rough.
Yeah. I mean, it's, I'm sure that like there are going to be, I think it's always been hard, but I think right now, like to the lay person, to like the person who's not part of it, you might look at it and be like, it's easier to get your music out than it ever has been before. Right.
Yeah. But kind
of you know, I would call like Spotify and YouTube and Apple Music and Pandora, like quite predatory in their like compensation for bands. It's really, really bad.
Yeah.
And it makes it so that like, you know, you're competing and like you can spend all this money to hire like a PR person and to get on like Spotify playlists, and you're dropping like thousands and thousands of dollars and you to record an album and get your music out there, and then the compensation is like so minuscule. But then on the other hand, I don't want to like paint a picture like you can't make a living doing music, because like I make a living doing music. So like, you know, it's more like being like a gigging musician in like a metropolitan area that's like, you know, bigger than a certain size. And like Rochester is bigger than that. So there's like a lot of work here. Mm-hmm. It's not about like getting on the radio, and it's not about like, you know, licensing your song for like TV and movies and stuff like that. And so like to compete in that sort of like indie music field is really hard. And even people like I have a friend who's in a band who's signed to, they're signed to like a major label. I don't want to say the band, because the story is kind of dark. Right. So this band like toured like with major label support, like across America, like three times in like one summer. Right. They were on tour for like 3 months straight, and they got home and they did all the math, and they had lost like $300. That was their total end amount, was like losing $300. And it's like, wow. And they're a really kick-ass band. And so like, I heard that and I was like, man, what a bummer. Cause I'm looking at them and I'm like, man, those guys are living the dream. Those guys are like crushing it, and they make cool music. And it's like, and their album sounds great. And then they get back from this tour where you're supposed to be like really reaching people.
Yeah.
And they're like, they lost money.
Yeah.
It's gotta be I can't imagine. That's really crushing, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
It's like coming back from a comic convention and having lost like, you know, $3,000 or something like that. And, you know, so anyway,
no, that it's absolutely true, man. And this is great that we're talking about this stuff, because it is, it's rough when you put yourself out there, whether it be music or comics or artwork or writing, you know, it's rough. And that's one of those things that why I talk a lot with India guests, because it's, usually, it's because you guys are out there pushing your own stuff. You don't have a publisher doing it for you and all this stuff. It obviously helps, within the comic book industry. But a lot of the guys that I talk to, they sell themselves, man. They put their books out there. They talk to the shops. They're talking to podcasters. They're getting on YouTube and they're selling their book. And that's you know, harder to do if you're a band and all that stuff, because it's different. You got multiple people in the band.
Right.
You have multiple moving parts. You have all these people, and the pot is so small, and there's a lot of hands getting in there. It's absolutely true.
It's more akin to like you know, like the other book that we haven't talked about is the book that's on SourcePoint that's coming out in October, called Thompson Heller Detective Interstellar, written by my friend Milton. And I drew that. And I actually drew that book before Canopus. So it went like Thompson Heller, Canopus, and then Chasing the Bird, basically boom, boom, boom. And that book is coming out in October. And I look at a cat like Milton and I'm like, man, this guy's dedicated as hell, right?
Because
for him to put a book out, he paid me to draw that book, like the whole thing out of pocket. And the investment is enormous for someone like him. It is more like being in a band than for me. Like when I do it, all I'm dedicating is time and supplies. Mm-hmm. Cause for when I'm doing my book, like I write it and I draw it, and I'm not like fronting any, you know, like major dough like that. It's crazy. I really admire those writers that are out there getting work for artists and putting it all on the line. It's really intense, man. Yeah. It's gotta be super stressful.
Yeah, and I was reading that book the other night as well. I'm actually going to be having him on the show next. Actually, as I'm recording this, he's my next appointment to record. So,
Tell him I said hi.
I will. We were trying to get you guys both on at the same time, but because you had a wide variety of a background, so I wanted to talk to you kind of separate a little bit about. All the stuff that you did, so we kind of separated the appointments. But yeah, that book is really, really, really awesome too, man. And yeah, he's a hustler, dude. He's getting out there and doing it, just like you said.
It's
hard, man, for those kind of guys sometimes too. This is his debut, right? His debut in
It's his first series that he's getting, that he's got, going to have in comic shops. So
yeah,
I'm really glad that I'm a part of it. I'm happy with the book and Milton's like a great guy.
He's cool.
He's one of my like best friends, even though he lives in Houston, Texas, and I live in Rochester, New York. Like,
yeah.
And with quarantine life, we might as well be on like Jupiter and.
You can be on Canopus.
Yeah, right. That's right.
Full circle, man. That's how we do it.
Yes. Call back.
There you go. So, all right, we're running out of time here, but I wanted to make sure that everybody knows where they can find you, all your good stuff. If you got a website, your social media, and what else you got coming out pretty soon.
Okay, so my social media, I'm mostly on Twitter, and my Twitter handle is Chisholm Dave, so Chisholm Dave. And then I have a website, DaveChishomMusic.com. And then I'm also on Instagram, it's The Dave Chisholm. But if you go to my website, you can find all those social links. And books, the whole run of Canopus is now available, so your comic shop should be able to order all four issues. We just did a second printing of the first issue, which is super cool.
Yeah.
With a different cover. And then Chasing the Bird is in pre-order stage right now. It comes out in September, and that's through Z2 Comics. You can pre-order it through your local comic shop or local bookstore, or if you are like freaked out about leaving your home, you can go to like the bookstores online, like Amazon or wherever, and it will pre-order it there. And then the book that I'm doing with Milton, Thompson Heller, Detective Interstellar, is coming out in October. It's a three-issue series. The first issue comes out in October through Source Point Press, and that's in previews right now as well. So it's been a busy, crazy year full of comics, man. Super exciting.
Yeah, it sounds like it, man. And where can anybody find your music if you got it out there?
Yeah, you can find a bunch of it on my website. I have a bunch of free stuff on there that's really cool that you can't get anywhere else. And then I have talkingunderwater.bandcamp.com. And Talking Underwater, there's no weird spellings there, no replacement backwards letters or anything like that. Just talkingunderwater.bandcamp.com. And we have a bunch of music on there, a full album, two EPs, and then the three songs that I mentioned earlier. So
super cool, man. I appreciate coming on and hanging out with me here on the House of Indie, man. It's been fun. We didn't get into a lot of your creative process of how you get into your books and all that stuff, but what's awesome about that just gives me another reason to talk to you again.
Oh yeah, man, anytime. Like maybe we could do something like after the Charlie Parker book comes out, and maybe if you, cause I know that you, I don't know if you got a chance to read it, cause I just sent it to you like yesterday. So no. Probably not. But, I think if you read through it, man, it turned out so good. I think you'll want to talk about it. It's really,
cool. Yeah, I'm definitely gonna crack that one open. The funny thing about that is I like to say, I would love to have more time to read things for fun. But the only, because I'm so busy doing the podcast and I have so many creators that I'm talking to, they send me a lot of their stuff so that I can familiarize myself with them. And I find myself reading that stuff more because I'm like, instead of just doing the whole reading for fun. So I'm going to save Chasing the Bird for my fun reading. And I'm definitely going to crack it open, man.
Man, I guarantee you, you're gonna love that book. It turned out so good.
I bet, man. It sounds like, because I mean, it's your baby. Well, I mean, you love music, you love comic books, and when you're putting them together, man, I'm sure it's gonna be something great.
Hell yeah! Thanks, man.
Yeah. All right. Thanks again for hanging out with me, Dave. It was a pleasure having you on, man. And we gotta, maybe we'll talk about some music a lot more next time, because, dude, that is a Pandora's box that if you get me talking, it won't get shut again, man.
Yeah. Well, so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. All right. We'll see you later.
Thanks again for listening to The House of Indie. My name is Joey Galvez, and I'll see you later.